Bowshot, what is good, guys? It is your boy, Sotico, MJ. We also have Fred in the call. How are you boys doing? Hopefully you're doing well.
Chilling.
What's going on,
sir?
I know MJ's...
Can you go in the freezer and take out that
super,
burger meat?
Super, super excited to talk about the Acolyte. So we're going to be getting into that. And I'll just give you a rundown of the topics. We're going to talk about the Acolyte, the Phantom Menace, 25th anniversary, Anakin Skywalker's importance in cinema, rating each Star Wars film by a certain criteria. Very excited for that one. The Bad Batch, and then we're going to get to the mailbag. And then anything else that you guys want to ask, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, leave them in the chat and we'll get to those at the 1 hour mark when we take our initial break. We're going to be taking a break at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, 2 a.m. No. Yes. 2 a.m. Right? Is it 1 a.m.? 1 a.m. UK. I know we have a lot of UK watchers. Believe it or not, our most hours watched for this podcast come from Europe. Pretty cool.
A lot of UK Star Wars fans, huh?
Yeah, what we like to call our EU Donnies, you know? The one thing that's cool is it's the United Kingdom, and then right underneath the United Kingdom is the US, and then right underneath the US is Belgium. So shout out to Belgium. Alex, what's,
you know what's
good?
Funny about the United Kingdom? They call them the United Kingdom, but they all hate each other, bro. Like, yeah. It's actually crazy. Like, the English, the Scottish, the Welsh, they'll just, like, hate each other, and the Irish as well. It's funny.
Even the Irish. The Irish United. Hate the Irish.
Yeah, exactly.
North
the
and...
dark side is too strong in the world.
Oh, it is, dude. It is too strong. Northern Ireland hates the Republic of Ireland. The Republic of Ireland hates England. They're cool with Wales, I think. That's it. Scotland hates England. Scotland's cool with Ireland, I think. I think they're pretty cool with each other. Maybe I'm just saying that because my missus is Scottish and she also has some Irish lineage. I found out.
Well, also Gino, I think, has both as well, right? He's got Irish and, well, he's got Scottish, like,
yeah,
relatives, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Gibo hates everybody. Shout out to Gibo.
Shout out to Gibo.
I found out, my sister did one of those 23andMe's, and I did one in college. And we got some results. My brother Taylor did, and I don't remember what it's called, like maybe Ancestry or something. My sister did, she did one, and she says it's like the most accurate one that you can get. And it turns out we are, we're Swedish. We are Irish on my dad's side, German on my dad's side, and then we are Scottish, English, and Swedish on my mom's side. So pretty,
you know,
cool.
I always wonder, like, how do they determine that? Like, what do they use, you know? Like,
usually it's last names.
Yeah,
usually it's last names. That's how we deciphered it in college, was you could take the root of someone's last name. Like, my old last name was Shay. That is predominantly Irish. And when we ran the results on my dad's side, you see Northwestern Europe, and then they assume, and that's why it's like whatever percentage they assume based heavily just upon last names and stuff. That's my theory. That's my philosophy. And
yeah, and your brother did the ancestral one, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's the DNA one. Like, I wonder how that one works. Like, they, what, they take the DNA and, like, how do they identify, you know? Like, are they, like, markers, I guess? But, like, in the
Yeah, there's certain genomes inside of DNA that only certain groups from certain places can have. For example, on my mom's side, there's a Nordic thing that only Nordic people can have in their DNA, and it has something to do with like the blood veins in your hand and stuff. And that's one of the ways that they can see if you're like Danish, Swedish, Finnish. So it's really cool. I think it's the biggest flex in the world, like being able to speak different languages and stuff.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
And I think it's a even bigger flex. Like by the end of my life, I would like to fluently speak English, Swedish, German. That'd be really cool. Be able to speak the languages that are in my blood. That'd be sick. I think that would make me a pretty complete human being in my eyes. Do you speak any different languages, Fred?
Not fluently, no. I can understand bits of like what people are saying, I guess, just from like what I learned in school and stuff like that, and just conversating with people. Obviously, a lot of the jobs I worked, I have to like deal with people directly, so like there's people who like will only know Spanish, and they'll just like come up to me and like they'll be like, oh, you know, something, and like I don't know what they're talking about, but like I'll know what kind of what they're asking, you know, because I understand certain words or like the way they're like looking for something, you know. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, oh yeah, I'll understand that they're like looking for something specific, and if I don't know, then obviously I'll just try to find someone who does, you know.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Intercultural communication, it's really good.
Yeah, but I don't like fluently speak any other language but English, sadly.
I can understand a bit of Spanish. I remember a good amount. I just can't speak it. I can understand it. I can read it. Cannot speak it. I just can't remember how to put certain words together. But I've been talking to my Mexican coworkers and stuff and picking up bits and pieces, asking like, hey, how do you say this? How do you conjugate this? MJ, I know you have a wild array of nationality, like your dad's Arabic, your mother's
my dad's Arabic, my mother's Lithuanian, I got some Russian, Irish, I'm all over the place, like the USA.
Nice.
And that's pretty cool. That's what I enjoy, like the world is a ultimate melting pot. And I just want to
some fondue cheese.
Yeah, I just want to say before we get going here, like Alex says, he's Irish and can confirm we do hate him. I just think we need to stop. And this is a goofy ass statement in and of itself, but I've never understood racism. And not like the idea of it, but how you could feel it. And the odd correlation between seeing somebody of a certain look, a certain race, and instantly hating them. And I guess I wanted to talk about racism on the pod, you know?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, I can... Like, in today's day and age, there's, like, genuinely, like, no, like, feasible... like explanation as to why people still feel that way, except for like maybe like being taught, like being brought up that way. But like I feel like back in the day it did make more sense, because like if you look at it, not just in like America but like in other countries as well, like India had the caste system, you know, like where if you're of like a certain like nobility, you know, like people below you, you saw them as like nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand how like being raised around that kind of like environment, like, oh, you like people think that they're better than others, you know, and then they instill that onto like their children, and it just kind of develops into a thing where like, oh, I was taught that like these people are lesser than me, so I should treat them as such, you know? In the same way, like, in America, where, like, people from Africa, India, like, all over, they were brought to the Americas, and they were enslaved for however long, and, like, those people saw them as, like, lesser, you know? So it just kind of stuck. They're like, oh, they're lesser. And even when they kind of got their emancipation, they're free, you know? Even then, they're still in their mind, they're like, oh, yeah, these people are lesser. And then they teach that to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of moves out of correlation. But, like, yeah, in today's day and age, it doesn't make as much sense, because there's probably those, like, few people who do still feel that way and teach that to their kids. But for the large majority, a lot of those people just do it because, like, they feel edgy, or, like, you know, they feel like it makes them cool or funny.
Yeah.
Rather than actually having, like, a deep-seated hate towards other people, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, MJ?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, that word is, it's not bred, it's taught for sure. There's definitely a lot of evil in the world. And
can I debunk that real quick, though? Because I'm just sitting here thinking about that as Fred was answering.
Yeah.
The idea that, oh, it's just the way that they were raised. I think that's kind of on the person, though. Because when you're learning something, you internally are able to decide, it's your choice. Is this right or wrong? You know, when your dad's showing you how to do something with a tool or something, and you're like, I don't think that's the right way to do it. It's the very same thing, because whether it's using a hammer or using certain language to address people, both are able to be discernibly chosen as right or wrong in your own mind. And I think it might just speak to, and I don't want this to sound bad, but also an intelligence thing, for not being able to make that distinction, for not being able to say,
yeah, no, for sure,
this feels wrong. Like, there's no shot I'm doing that.
Yeah, like, respectfully, there's a lot of people that are just sheep, you know? Like, they, it's not their fault, that's just how they're born, you know? Like, they just kind of follow, like, what they're taught, you know? Like, they don't have, like, the wherewithal to just kind of think for themselves, you know, because it's easier for them to just kind of take what they're taught and go with that, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. What were you going to say, though, MJ, before I interjected? It was about, like, being taught, teaching and stuff.
Well, yeah, that it's not bred, it's taught, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Albeit it does more so rely on the person themselves, because that's where the word learning comes from, knowing what right and wrong is. But I mean, if it's what you're being taught, you know what I mean, how can you really distinguish, you know what I mean? It's like a good dog, bad owner type of ordeal, you know what I mean? It's like, it wasn't the dog's fault, you know what I mean? It's the owner, the parent, you know? Yeah.
I think that goes to a certain point, but then it does ultimately fall on the dog, on the person. You know, if you get to a certain point and you're an adult and you're making decisions, it's then on you. But I get it. I just feel it's one of the nastiest things in general. Hating another human being who you have no connection with. You don't know who they are, what they do, what they've been through. And the thing that makes me really enjoy Star Wars is, in universe, there's really no racism besides by the super evil people, who are like Sidious, who are like the corrupt nobles, who are the Empire, Count Dooku, etc.
No, it's there. It's there heavy.
In Legends, my eyes. But I haven't seen anything in like the movies or anything, because all you've ever seen is people coexist. Like, the closest to racism the like actual racism, like I'm counting humans as one race and then alien species one as another race. The closest thing to racism is when Leia calls Chewbacca a walking carpet.
I think the Trandoshans were just full on racist against Wookiees, in my honest opinion.
Well, yeah, they were racist. Like, yeah, like in the Animal Kingdom, there's different species of animals that do hate each other. Monkeys and snakes hate each other, and they've been at war in the jungles since time began. That's why snakes go up trees. That's why snakes can go up trees, because they've been fighting against monkeys forever, and that's why monkeys stay in trees. It's crazy. But in Star Wars, Alex says the great thing is Star Wars has groups of all backgrounds come together and fight against the Empire. Yeah, that's a really good point. There's not a, the only aliens that are involved with the Empire are Chiss. Everyone else that's ever used, like, in the Empire, who's an alien, is like a cannon fodder. It's Thrawn's assassins. It's Palpatine's inquisitors. You know, they're being thrown out as cannon fodder. But the people actually making the decisions and stuff are humans. And we think, when we think of the inquisitors, we think of them as being all mighty and powerful. But in the grand scheme of things, they are simply pawns. They're not knights. They're pawns. And they're pretty low on the totem pole in terms of the Empire. And I think that's what Kenobi kind of got wrong. Is they made the Inquisitors look to be like authority in the Empire, which they weren't. They are not. Inquisitors are looked like goons to stormtroopers, to officers and stuff. They think that the Inquisitors are so freaking goofy, and they're not really respected either. That's why Inquisitors band together. They don't mess with stormtroopers and stuff. So that's something that Kenobi inherently got wrong. And it didn't sour it for me, but it was just kind of a, I didn't like the direction of the show. But yeah, Leia, she was royalty. She looked at a Wookiee, called him a walking carpet. I think that's probably the closest thing to racism that we got inside of an actual Star Wars film or TV show. Is that fair to say?
I don't know, man. What about when Kylo said those things to Finn, dude, in the forest, man? You know?
Right on!
I don't know if that's what he said, but...
Yeah, he said something much worse than that.
Yeah. Nah, but realistically, like, as far as, like, race goes, it was actually really surprising that, like, in the Star Wars universe, they didn't really see color, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool, that, like, you've got, like, Mace Windu on the Jedi Council, you know? As, like, a master. And then they're just, like, they're cool with him, you know? You got Kid Fisto, who's rocking a Jamaican accent. They're like, yeah, Kid Fisto's cool, bro, you know? Like...
What is good, generals? Wagwan, yeah, my like, generals, that's fighting the Clone Wars Blumber Clock.
They didn't really discriminate, you know? Like, I thought that was really cool. Like, as a kid, like, that is one thing I definitely, can iterate with. Obviously, you know, I didn't watch Star Wars that much as a kid, but, like, I feel like as a kid, like, seeing stuff like that, you know, like, it probably would go over your head a lot of the times, but, like, that's something good to watch as a kid, you know? Because, like, there is no, like, the discrimination because of skin color, and that's like something cool to watch because that's not happening, you know? So you're watching that, and like in your mind you're like, okay, yeah, cool. You know, you're not even thinking like, oh yeah, Mace Windu's black and Qui-Gon Jinn's white and stuff like that. You're not thinking about like color, you know. You're just thinking about like the story and like the, you know.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I never really thought of, but you know, in the inception of the original trilogy, George Lucas made the rebels out to be the Viet Cong.
Viet Cong, yep.
And the Empire was the big almighty USA. And that was that was the theme of the war. That was the theme of the fight. So we know he's a thematic writer. I theorize that in episode 1, The Phantom Menace, that Naboo are written out to be the rich white aristocrats, and that Gungans are meant to be black people and on a racist planet, because Nabooians are historically racist towards aliens, especially Gungans. They hate them. And I think it shows how desperate the white people were, because they needed to ask the black people for help, and they had to get down on their knees and beg for it. I'm not saying anything about the Gungans was stereotypically black or anything. I'm just saying that's what the theme of that interplanetary relationship was.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. If that makes sense. Does that make sense?
I can see that, you know. You're not directly like correlating them. You're just using them as like a base, you know, to like.
Yeah, and we know that episode 1 was released in the late 90s. There was still a whole lot of racism going on. You know, that's 10 years after Rodney King. 7 years after OJ, like, there's still a whole lot of racism going on, and
even still to this day, dude.
Even
100%.
Still,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
100%.
So racism, especially within America, between whites and blacks. Jesus Christ, that's been a thing since inception. That's kind of the backbone of America is a racist war. You know, the Civil War, it was sure it was about this, sure it was about that, but it was the fight to end slavery, because that's what came out of it, you know. And just because slavery ended, it didn't mean racism ended. If anything, just magnet people from the South, maybe they didn't hate blacks, but because they lost the war and they lost their free purchased labor, maybe that magnified feelings of racism. You know, I'm not sure. I haven't looked into the feelings of people, but I think that losing a war, being forced to rejoin the Union, I think it probably magnified feelings, because we've seen the civil rights movement. We've seen the LA riots. You know, we've seen so much. George Floyd. We've seen so much. And it's like,
Trayvon Martin.
That's what this country's built upon. So I think George Lucas was showing his ideal. Like, we needed these black people to build America. We needed them. They shouldn't be given any less credit than anyone has. And I think George is saying, like, the white people need the black people to defend their country against this invasion, you know? And
vice versa as well, you know? Without the Naboo people, you know, the Gungans would also be wiped out anyway, you know. So just like a coming together of both sides, essentially trying to get it both rather than one needing the other, you know. So
because when you look, bro, even just zoom out, look at the whole world now.
Like, you don't think the Separatists are gonna be coming, like, underwater looking for the Gungans as well? They'll come looking for the Gungans too, man. You know, like, they want that whole planet. They're not settling just for Naboo. So, the people of Naboo.
Yeah, we as America became a global superpower pretty much after the slaves were freed. From then on, we shot up the power rankings, you know? We became one of the biggest and most powerful countries in the world. And that's not just because we came from the UK, who probably would have been at that point. And then we won the war against them, which gave us the title, you know? Maybe it did give us the title. Maybe we were looked at as, like, super powerful, but we weren't. We weren't, but as soon as we were united, as soon as we were built, as soon as we were acquiring land in the Louisiana Purchase and Texas and, you know, going out west, like, we became huge, and that is on the back of winning the Civil War and grouping together and joining hands and realizing that we as a people, we as Americans, like, we need to join forces and join together. And that is the theme of the Phantom Menace. If we don't join together, we will be obliterated. And I think that shows why Jar Jar Binks is such an important character, because, yeah, he's clumsy and goofy, but everything that he did led to winning a war.
Yep.
I know he's a meme and everything, but hell of a character, man. Hell of a character. And I mean, yeah, it's the 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace. Are you guys going to see it in theater?
I mean, there's like a saying as well where it's like, sometimes it's better to be lucky than brave, or smart or something like that. What was the saying?
Lucky to brave.
In both instances.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Jar Jar is just as lucky as they come, you know? Mm-hmm. Or was he?
Or was he a Sith Lord?
Skill issue.
He's a Sith Master in disguise.
Alex says he hopes to see it in the cinema. I've already bought my ticket. It's over a month away. It's May the 3rd. I'm seeing it at... I'm seeing a matinee on the Friday. I'm hyped. Are you guys going to see it in the theater?
I'm unsure if I will.
Not sure either, yeah. Maybe. We'll see.
It's going to be... It's gonna be absolutely gas.
I do love this though, so good movie.
Which one?
Phantom Menace.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. I've never had an issue with it. It's so, like, when I learned that people didn't like it, it's kind of like seeing someone actually think LeBron James is bad at basketball.
It doesn't have any lightsabers until the end, dude. Like, what are we doing? We're trolling, man. Like, what do you mean, man? Come on, dude.
I love the movie. Darth Maul, he's so
God
sick.
Forbid there's a Star Wars movie with, like, a little amount of lightsabers, you know? Or none at all. Like, come on, dude. You know? Like,
look at Andor.
Yeah, exactly. Look at Andor, bro. Like, that was such a good series, and it had no lightsabers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone's different, right? They all got their own takes. I mean, the dialogue for Andor was great, but all the action scenes were really, like, dog shit, for me at least. I only liked the lightsaber shit.
That's the thing. It's like, just lore. It's just story, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. If it was an audiobook, it would have been the same shit.
Action-packed. Oh yeah, Andor's gonna be crazy, you know? Like, then I would be upset, but that's not what it is. It's lore, it's story. We're learning more about the universe. That's what people asked for. They want to learn more about the universe. So put down your lightsabers for 2 seconds and learn about the universe that you love so much, you know?
No, like, they couldn't even do that. They couldn't even put down the lightsabers. They threw them bitches at ship.
Like, come on, man. Put it down for 2 seconds, brother.
Hell no.
I was wondering if they could actually get away with not having a lightsaber in a movie, because I was thinking, oh, Rogue One, but it's got the hallway scene.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. You have a 2 second clip of a lightsaber and it takes a 0 to a 6. It just does. It's a laser sword, dude. You had literally Solo, a movie about a young pilot who acquires a Falcon through a gambling card game of Pazak. And what happens at the end? Darth Maul and Crimson Dawn and
who cares about
Han Solo anymore? Like, it's like, oh, what just happened? There was a movie? It's like, yo, we got Maul.
I mean, it is a staple of Star Wars, so I get it. Like, oh yeah, you think Star Wars, you instantly think lightsaber, you know? You'll think, oh, you might think Luke or Vader, but you're thinking lightsaber. Like, that's gotta be, like, up there, like, top, like, three of what you think of as soon as you hear Star Wars, dude.
In my mind, I want to know, for you guys, for me, my top three when the word Star Wars comes to mind, it's laser sword, Force, and Jedi.
Yeah, like, essentially, like, around those will be, like, your first three thoughts, you know? Like,
because
They're iconically, like, tied to the series.
Would you watch something if you knew there was not going to be a lightsaber in it? If it was, like, if it was advertised as no sabers.
I watched Andor. I mean, consider Luthen's ship a lightsaber ship, but it's really not. I don't think it is.
It's pretty,
if they made a series, or sorry, not series, if they made a movie called, like, The Book of Bossk or something, you know, I would watch that in a heartbeat, bro. I don't care if there's no lightsabers. I want to learn more about bounty hunters and stuff like that. So I'd 100%, like, easy.
But
yeah, anything, man, you know, like, I just want to learn more about the universe. I don't care if, like, there's lightsabers.
Now, a Jango prequel show would be effing dope, in my opinion. Like, I want to see him, because he was the dangerous MF-er across the galaxy, you know what I mean?
And you can do it, too, because he doesn't have to take his helmet off.
I love Cad Bane. Cad Bane's probably my favorite bounty hunter, bro. I want to learn more about Cad Bane. Let me get some Cad Bane going.
Cad Bane could be in that bitch. Boss can be in that bitch.
I don't think they'll show. I don't think they would ever do it because he's already had a good run. You know what I mean? Like, if you look back to the Clone Wars all the way up till now, where he, like, is either A dead or A not, he's had a good run. So, you know what I mean? And if, like, I was going to put that mantle to a legacy character, it would be Jango. You know what I mean? Like, they've made games over Jango, and they were really good. Even canceled games. The 1313. Dude, they for sure can do a Separatist prequel of just Jango's arc. The only time it would have to do with something with sabers is if, like, he's hunting them, you know? Because I think only him and Cad Bane were really the Jedi killers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could do a journal of Jango. And he doesn't
that
have...
sounds much more fire than Book of Boba. Yeah. Journal of Jango. It's like, I'm watching that.
He doesn't need to take his helmet off either, because we've already seen the guy.
We know what it looks like.
Went from, like, oh yeah, I'm this crazy bounty hunter, to, oh yeah, I'm gonna make a bunch of clones of me for these people to make a giant army, you know, like. Mm-hmm.
So there's an old PS2 game. I think it's just titled The Clone Wars, but it was a really fun game. Cinematics, you know how it was back then, but it did explain, like, Jango and Dooku hiring Jango to come work for the army and stuff, so I thought that was pretty neat. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they could
I'd love to see, like, the aspect of, like, oh, Jango, like, thinking to himself, like, you know, like, my whole life I'm dedicated to bounty hunting, you know, like, I'm not even a Mandalorian anymore, like, and then be like, oh yeah, you know, like, if they're making clones, this is my chance to, like, have a family, to have a kid, you know, like, because obviously that was one of the things was. One of the conditions is that he wanted a non, like, you know, sped up clone of him, you know, like someone that he could raise as his own, Boba. So I'd love to see that aspect of it where he's just like thinking to himself, you're like, oh, I want to have a family, you know, but like finding a wife and settling down, that's not something a bounty hunter can really just do. You know, so he just kind of thinks to himself, like, well, I can at least have a kid, you know, make a clone of myself. Mm-hmm. Not have him like, you know. So that'd be interesting to see stuff like that. Just like little aspects of the of these things that you never really think about, you know.
Do you think he was involved with Omega?
I have no idea.
Cause that's.
It'd be interesting. That's another thing. It'd be interesting to find out. You know?
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think my. This is my theory on it. I think the Kaminoans tried to. They tried to clone Homeboy. They tried to clone Jango. And as like a test run, they made Omega. And then they're like, oh, okay, we just need to switch. Or maybe they made Boba first since he's the alpha, the first. And then they made another one at random. And it came out as Omega. And they're like, okay, the difference is right there. Bing, 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 bing.
And maybe then they tried to make like a female version, you know?
Yeah. Because that's what she is. That's what she is. She is Boba Fett's twin.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, like, how involved with her was he, if at all? Did Boba know Omega? Did Omega know Boba? If she's around Lama Su the whole time, she doesn't hide anything from Omega. So do you think Omega knew about Boba? Did they play together growing up? Like,
Did they even meet each other as kids?
Yeah, is it explained at all in the Bad Batch if they didn't meet? I don't know. I'll have to rewatch from season one to see anything about it, but because Boba,
there's no shot Omega didn't know Boba did.
There's no shot they didn't know.
Like,
Kamino's not that big, and she's in the medical department.
And Lama Su really doesn't keep much, I guess, from her. I mean, well, no, she kept the M count ordeal away from her.
To be fair, though, it's not like she kept it away. She probably just had no reason to bring it up. You know, because they're just working on clones all day. That has really nothing to do with midichlorians or whatever they're going to call M count. But there's no shot that they didn't know each other. There's only a few of them. There's Emery. How did Emery get off Kamino? That's what I want to know. And start working for the Empire. Which, another thing is, like, and I know you might appreciate this, Fred. But I genuinely don't rate Palpatine. I don't rate him in the slightest. Because everything that he did was planned by someone else. He just put the plan in order. Everything was Plagueis. Everything. Even Mount Tantus was Plagueis. All of his research that he did on immortality was Plagueis. You know? I don't respect the guy. What about you?
Yeah, a lot of what Palpatine did was just kind of... It just didn't feel like... You couldn't really see the motive behind it, you know? Because, like, the thing is, right? Like, obviously... Yeah, he wants to rule the universe, you know, be the great, like, you know, grand emperor, all that. But, like, for what? Like, you just wanna rule over people in fear? Like, what was the end goal? You know, he created a death. Did he just want to kill everybody? Like, is that what he wanted?
Mm-hmm.
Because he created a Death Star that just blows up planets. And it's not like he used it as a weapon to, like, make people fear him. He was just killing people. Like, he blew up a planet just to blow it up. Like, what was the end goal, you know? It feels like Palpatine was just that kid that was, like, bullied as a kid, you know? And, like, he just, like, became resentful over people. So eventually just kind of led to him just becoming, like, pure evil. And then just when he came under Plagueis, you know, he just...
Mm-hmm.
He learned everything he needed to from this guy, and then he killed him off, too, because... At the end of the day, I'm guessing that was Palpatine's end objective, was just to kill everybody.
Palpatine's a sicko, bro. He's a sicko.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in a Palpatine... Alex says, before we get going, Alex says... Would you like a show about Grievous's origin?
I would, yes. I would like to see Grievous in his human form. I'd like to see, like, them taking him and putting him into the robot. All that stuff. I'd like to see him learning how to use a lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually killing Jedi and taking them from him. So, all that stuff would be interesting to learn.
That would be really cool. Keep talking. I gotta close my door really quick. It is getting cold.
I'd also like to know what the name of his disease is. If it causes him to fucking cough every like 2 seconds, like, you know, like.
Oh, you know, silence.
What is this?
Marijuana.
Is that it? The general Grievous just like to get high, you know?
Yeah, 100%. To keep.
You know England, the favorites to win the Euros?
What's up, dude? Trevor's doing his podcast right now.
Oh, my fault.
No, you're fine, yeah. Adam. How do you feel about, how do you feel about aliens in Star Wars? You big dumb idiot.
Aliens in Star Wars?
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to go Theo Fallon on his ass.
You know, I've never watched Star Wars before.
You gotta watch it. You'd be so into it. You'd be, who would he be, Fred?
Adam would be,
Adam would be Andor World on Twitter, dog. He'd be fucking Tech World. He's a goon. You'd like it, Adam. You should give it a go.
If I had to point out what Trevor would be about, you a smuggler.
I'm a smuggler? I can see that 100%. We're trying to create characters for JT's WWE universe. And
wait, so is Star Wars now like not movies anymore? It's just like series.
It's both.
So obviously the original Star Wars were movies, but like they're coming out with like a lot of like TV series, because TV series are a lot more popular than movies now. They make more money.
Yeah. And they're cheaper to make.
Yeah. And they're cheaper to make, yeah. And obviously there's a lot of Star Wars lore to go over, so like rather than having just like one movie that's like 2 hours or an hour and a half or whatever, they just have like episodes that are like 40 minutes each or something like that, you know, and then they give you more story.
It's fun. It's nice. I enjoy it. You'd probably really like,
Isn't what?
A bunch of it.
Isn't Princess Leia in Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I know who that is.
Yeah, to be like a Darth Maul kind of guy. Vibing with Darth Maul.
I fuck with Darth Maul hella heavy.
Yeah.
Hella heavy. So easy, so fun. And in video games, he's cracked too. Like Galaxy of Heroes, man, I just want to use him so badly.
The Mandalorians.
Or just a good version of Darth Maul himself, man. A good version of Darth Maul himself.
God, there is no good version, man. That man's story was almost as tragic as Anakin's, if I recall. Like, I don't know if it was from birth or was it from teenage years, but he was ripped away from Towson and was like tortured. Yeah, and was like tortured ever since.
I mean, when you think of it, so are like Padawans, you know? Padawans are taken as children and they're put through rigorous Jedi training. That's pretty much torture.
Child abuse, that's honestly. Torture.
It's child abuse, having little children like fight each other with like wooden swords or whatever, and then picking up deadly laser swords. Like, that's not child abuse, dude. Like, come on.
No, I'm gonna have to call the CPS on them, bro. The space child
you'd have to call Cup. You'd have to call the underworld police.
And then having Anakin be like an 8-year-old boy and being like, yeah, no, that's too old to start being a youngling. Like, what? So you want him extra young? So they're looking at like 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, and they're like, yeah, we want those kids to start learning about the Force and being able to beat each other up with light swords. Crazy.
Yeah.
How the heck do they even train them that young too? Like, they pick kids up.
Did they have any?
2 years old.
Did they have any new practice?
Look at how they treated Anakin as well, man. They treat their Padawans like garbage, man. I understand there's like a respect system, but like they treat their Padawans like garbage, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah, they do.
Look at Ahsoka, man. Ahsoka got accused of what, man? She didn't do nothing. But she got accused and kicked out of the Jedi Order. She didn't even get a chance to defend herself. She stood in front of the council and they're like, yeah, you're guilty. You know?
She said, you're done, pal.
Guilty until proven innocent, apparently. So, they sent her on her way and she left. So.
It was tragic as well.
Brutal, dude.
But, I get your point. They do. They do fuck around.
Imagine ripping someone from their home and then, like, basically having them feel like this is their home for the next, like, however long, for the rest of their life, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then kicking them from that home to, like, wander the galaxy, you know? Like, Ahsoka didn't know where she was from. She didn't know where she was going. She had to find her own way after they kicked her out. That's messed up, man.
Mm-hmm. It's very odd. Very strange.
They brought her back in, didn't even apologize. Like, okay, dude.
Yeah, that's another thing that never made sense to me. In the Phantom Menace, I'm like, yeah, he's too old to start his training, but this is on the word of Qui-Gon Jinn, saying this is going to be the chosen one. I know you all see it. You've seen the tests. Like, Anakin was coming off Tatooine, being able to see and being able to sense what is on a tablet facing the opposite direction. Like, he's already powerful. He just won a fucking pod race. And you're saying, nah,
like,
fuck that.
The crazy thing, right, is just, like, if you look at it, like, Yoda sensed, like, some darkness in him, right? So he's like, yeah, I do sense darkness in the boy. It's like, so what are you going to do about it? Are you going to hold that against him for, like, his entire life? Are you going to keep nurturing that darkness by keep pushing him away? No, welcome him in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, when you look at, like, villain, like, origin stories, it's often the people who, like, are seen as bad, and they get treated as such rather than, like, you treating them like how you want them to treat you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, do you want Anakin to have respect for you? You should have respect for him then, you know? Obviously, you don't have to respect this little boy, but, like, show him some, like, semblance of respect, you know? Like, yeah, you're a powerful Jedi, you know? We see you as such, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally get that.
Yeah.
Just another one of those things, man. It's really good writing. Really good writing.
Even when you watch all those other TV shows, there's a bunch of, like, so many TV shows and movies where you'll see, like, the reason that someone turned bad is because rather than, like, accepting them in, instead they'll neglect them and then they'll turn bad on their own because they treated that way. So, why don't you just treat them better, you know? If you don't want them to turn evil, then influence them with your good behaviors and stuff like that, you know? Like, why are you just pushing them towards you? And then you'll just be like, oh, well, it was in his nature. It's like, well, no doubt it's in his nature because you pushed him towards that direction.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have a favorite Star Wars then movie?
Yeah, mine's 6. I love 6. It's a good time.
Mine's 3. Episode 3 will always be my favorite. It's over, Anakin! I'm in the high road!
It's a goated movie.
Yep.
Can't disrespect. I just, it's tough for me to watch. It's so sad. It's a really
it
sad
is,
movie.
But
it's super
yeah,
depressing.
It's
that,
great
that's
to
a
watch. Wild,
that's
well,
a crazy like, emotion to get from a movie, you know? Depression.
Yeah.
That's a crazy feeling to get.
It's just wild because, like, you can see that, like, the Jedi have just, like, pushed Anakin away so much that, like, all it takes is for Palpatine to whisper, like, a few compliments into his ear for him to just be all over him, you know? Like, mm-hmm. It's like, I see the strength in you, Anakin, and he's, like, rewarding him. He's like, you know, I want you to be on the Jedi Council as a Jedi Master, mm-hmm. You know? Like, what Anakin wants, the Jedi refuse to give him, and Palpatine gives him, you know?
Yep.
If like Yoda or like any other like Jedi Master had taken like a more fatherly role with Anakin, which he always wanted a father. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like obviously he knew his mother, and then when his mother died, he had no one. You know, so like a fatherly role, like Palpatine kind of took on to him. It latched on immediately. If the Jedi had taken that kind of initiative and you're like, okay, well, he's a young boy. He didn't grow up with us as a youngling from young, so. If we kind of just like give him what he needs, and Obi-Wan could never give him that because at most he'd be an older brother to him. He'd never be a father figure.
No, that's a good way
even
to put it.
He even told Obi-Wan, he's like, you're not my father, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
in direct words, he told him that Obi-Wan is not his father. But you could, you know, Qui-Gon was that father figure that he was looking for. When Qui-Gon died, you know, he had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If they had maybe given him like a new father figure to, you know, like bond with, connect with, you know, there's so many Jedi like that believe in like the like peace over violence, you know, like there's so many of those that could have like tried to influence him.
Mm-hmm. Qui-Gon was different
there's
gravy.
That, ah,
he was different gravy. The way that he just went about his business. He had swagger. He had to respect it. No one was saying no to Qui-Gon. The fuck?
Oh, yeah.
He'd do what he wanted. And he did. That was pretty sick. That was really cool. How often do you watch Star Wars these days? Because I haven't seen one of the movies in... a good bit.
After the Ahsoka show, I've not watched anything. I just haven't had any time or anything to do that, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with Bad Batch. Like, I feel like I'm so freaking busy that even watching it every week that it comes out, I still have issues like remembering what's happened so far, where we're at in the story, etc.
Yeah. I think as the seasons go on as well with Bad Batch, they kind of just like try to come up with stuff, you know, that they can do.
Mm-hmm.
So like later on in the seasons, it doesn't feel as linear as it did in the start, you know? Like in the start, they had a clear idea of what they were doing. Whereas now it's just kind of like, oh yeah, we're throwing in like story, and we're throwing in like some goofy thing that happened, you know? Like, mm-hmm. it's less linear in the first few seasons, so.
For sure, and...
I'm telling you right now as well, by the way, if they drop like a Tales of Qui-Gon Jinn series, I'm watching it.
Yeah, you'd have to.
1000% I'd be watching that, dude.
really good. Tails, I'm hyped for Tails more than anything. Like, I'm not watching Skeleton Crew at all. I don't. I'm not one of those people that just watches shit to watch shit. I'm not gonna watch it. It's not for me. It's not my cup of tea. Is what it is.
I've heard a lot of like things about Acolyte, but I haven't actually seen the trailer, so I'm gonna have to like check that out at some point.
Mm-hmm. Acolyte's okay. Yeah. I'm not too excited. I'm not too unexcited. Kind of just right in the middle with it. We'll see what happens. Not sure what it's gonna be or what it's gonna be for, but we'll see. I'm not writing it off. Right now, it's the most disliked thing anywhere, I think. It has so many.
Is it really? It so That's crazy.
I'll see how much it has.
That is crazy.
It has 8.9 million views, 178,000 likes, 524,000 dislikes.
Damn, people hate it that much?
Yeah, they're not excited for the Acolyte.
What did they hate about it?
I don't know why other people hated it. I don't know what other people disliked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just
obviously you can only speak from the perspective, right?
The only thing I don't like about the what we saw was stuff that's not anything to do with in-universe stuff. I just think it looks like it was poorly shot. That's what I don't like. I'm here for the story. Don't care what the story has shown so far. That's not why I didn't like it, but we'll see what happens. A lot of people don't like it for certain other reasons. There's this weird narrative that people don't like it because the lead is an Asian guy, and the main character is a black girl. People think that's the issue, but I've not seen anything like that. I don't think it has anything to do with
race. I can see like a cult, like group of people feeling that way, you know? Because like when you look at like Star Wars shows and movies in the past, there are people who like respond negatively towards like characters of color. Like, obviously there's, like, your people who are like, oh, yeah, like, Finn, you know, I don't like Finn, blah, blah, or they'll be like, oh, yeah, Reva sucks, you know, like, and, like, fair enough, there are people that hate Reva because they've seen that, like, she, like, survived, like, death 3 times, blah, 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 whatever, you know, she's done this and that, but then there's, like, people who just hate Reva off the rip, you know, and it's like, oh. Why is that?
I hate Reva because she growls. Grown-ass woman. That's the only reason I didn't... Not the only reason. It's a stupid reason. You can't be like, oh, I don't like that she did this. She did. That's her story.
Yeah.
It's an immature way to look at it. But I don't like her because she growls. Where is she? Like, who says that?
And honestly, like, you're getting worked anyway because you're supposed to not like her. She's a villain.
Yes.
She's an inquisitor.
Don't be a mark.
Just a hater. So.
That's a really funny one.
Like, you're not supposed to like her. That's the point.
Yeah. That was a really funny one. You're getting worked. Don't work yourself into a shoe. You're getting worked, baby. Come on, dude. I'm hyped for JT's universe thing. That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I tell Jay about his characters. All about the, you know, the heel,
the
Jay.
SEC.
Like, what? Why? And I was like, well, because that's like the opposite of you, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jay's just a good, sweet guy.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Jay is like the nicest dude.
It's just you got to put people like that in fun roles. That's a really fun one. Leonardo DiCaprio went crazy in it. Had a great performance. I think we got one of those performances in Jimmy for sure. Can't wait. You guys got to check out Jute_. Big Jute _ on Twitch. He be streaming. He doesn't talk to chat yet. We'll get him there soon. But yeah, check out Big Juder. Good guy. Top 10 funny guy all time. Number 9 probably. Number 9 funny guy all time. I'll save the Acolyte to talk about when MJ gets back. But, you say you love episode 3, Fred. You say it's
yeah.
Go to. How important do you think Anakin is in terms of his importance inside of cinema, inside of the movie business? Like him as a character.
Like, in a scale of 1 to 10, definitely a 10. Like, that's your main character turned villain, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
He's very influential to, like, cinema in general, honestly. Like, obviously there's the people who have read the books, so they already know that Anakin's Darth Vader. But, like, when we were watching the movies together, I had no idea that Anakin Skywalker was Darth Vader. So we're watching, like, episode 1, and you and, like, JT are making jokes about, like, just kill him now, you know? I was like, okay, you guys are just, like, messing around, like, joking. And then eventually I find out that Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader, and I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Like, what?
Yeah. It is crazy. You know?
And I feel like that's, like... Before that, like, a lot of movies, they had, like, those kinds of situations, right? But they were never as crazy as, like, oh my god, this kid who we watched grow up, you know, fell in love, had a family, that family fall apart, and he just turned to evil, you know? Like, it was very influential. It's such a big moment.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, you can't, like, knock Anakin. He's such a big part of, like, the franchise. He's the chosen one, you know? He's the main character gone evil, you know?
Mm-hmm. He is. He's the main character of the biggest franchise of all time.
Okay, if you ask me who the main character of Star Wars is, I'm telling you Anakin Skywalker. There's no other answer.
Mm-hmm.
Respect to Luke, but Luke is, you know, he was the face of the movies that originally came out.
Yeah.
But when you think of Star Wars, you think of Darth Vader way before Luke Skywalker. So. Yeah.
And before Anakin came out, it was Luke. All the books were about Luke. Everything was about Luke. Nothing that came out before the first 3 episodes were about times in the first 3 episodes. Because yeah. Anakin was that important to the story, because they had to illustrate the polar opposite. Anakin had to be the polar opposite of what Vader was, and they had to design that, and they had to flesh it out and give it purpose and reason. And that's why the prequels are so important. They're so fucking good, because they did it probably in the best way possible. Like, the prequels,
also,
you do them 10 times, this is the best of the 10.
Yeah, for sure.
I really
also like it took that family like 3 generations to take down Palpatine, so I'd say Anakin's pretty damn important because his family, like 3 generations of a family just to take down Palpatine, dude, you know.
Yeah, that's Anakin, that's a wild Luke, way to look at it too. That's a wild way to look at it.
Yeah.
And maybe even if you count Qui-Gon as Anakin's father figure, 4 generations taking down Palpatine.
Yep.
Because no one was more sure about the Sith coming back than Qui-Gon. Just no one would believe him. No one would listen to him. It's crazy. But yeah, dude, that's a really insightful and impactful way to look at it. That's really sick. You always have those as well outside perspectives, Fred. That's why it's nice talking to you about this shit.
Yeah, well, you know, as someone who's not, like, just deep-seated into the Star Wars fandom, but, like, is, like, trying to get into it, you know? Like, you can always look at it from an outside perspective, you know? Like, it's... You look at Star Wars and you think of, like, okay, well, yeah, okay, cool, it's about this fantasy world. But also, like, when you look at it compared to, like, real life, like, George Lucas tied a lot of stuff in real life. Like you said, he tied a lot of stuff in real life to the movies. You know, he's looking for those types of people to, like, look outside the box and, like, appreciate, like, his view on the world and how he maybe wanted to see the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. You good, MJ?
When you look...
Yeah, I'm good.
Look like you're getting warped by them kids.
Yeah, I did.
Getting worked.
And they're like, not even over here.
Come on, Dad.
Goose rubber.
Hey, big shout out to MJ, you know. Being a dad and still coming on the podcast. Big shout out to MJ right there, man. Big W.
Are your kids on spring break right now or no?
No, they're in school.
They're in school now? Okay. Did it end already or has it not started yet?
I always thought spring break was the first week of April.
It's different for, like, a lot of states. That's why I'm asking, like, specifically. Because, like, for example, like, our boy Colin, his spring break just started. Whereas our boy Jay, his spring break just ended. Yeah. So, you know.
Shout out Colin. Shout out Jimmy.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's different from state to state. I had to learn that, too, because, like, when I lived in Florida and stuff like that, well, not just spring break, like, all kinds of breaks. So, like, when I lived in Florida, like, spring break was, like, oh, this span, and then, like, when I went to New York, it's, like, different, you know, stuff like that. So, it was, like, really weird to me, like, changing it up.
I love spring break where I lived because what major event starts that first week of that first Sunday in April? WrestleMania, you know.
True.
So you'd start spring break as a kid, and on Sunday you get to watch WrestleMania and you get to stay up late, don't have school in the morning. That was sick,
man. That was one thing, man. As a kid, and like, I used to want to watch, like, Monday Night Raw, but, like, obviously, it would be on until, like, 10, 11 o'clock, depending on whatever, you know? Like, and I would just be like, man, I want to watch Raw, but I can't, you know? So I used to, like, tape over the episodes and then watch them when I got up from school the next day. I had to, otherwise I wouldn't be able to watch the episodes, you know? Like,
exactly. Man, yeah, that's what I would do. I'd tape them, and then I'd watch Raw on Tuesday after school because I knew my mom and dad wouldn't come home from work until, like, 5:30 or 6. So you knew you get home at 2:30 after school. You have, you know, 3 o'clock until 5:30 by yourself. What are you going to occupy your time with? You know,
yeah.
I love to get home, get my homework done, so then the rest of the night I could just chill. That was my go-to.
Homework in school, man. I got yelled at if yelled for it once too. I was doing my homework like I think we had like a free period or something because the teacher was like sick or something, so we had a free period, and I'm just there like doing my homework, and the teacher's like, "Oh, why are you doing your homework in school? That's for home." And I was like, "I'm doing it now, so I have to do it later."
It's a good way to do it.
I got yelled at for it.
People that work in schools, they really are weird people. They have such weird power structures in their head. It's quite goofy.
To be honest, we as a people like kind of like instigate that as well, you know? Because like if you really look at being a teacher, man, it's like such a it's a dead end job essentially, you know? Like you're never moving up, you're always in a constant. And like the way that we kind of like influence people to take on those roles is by saying stuff like, "Oh, you're influencing the youth of America, you know, or you're influencing the youth of whatever country."
Mm-hmm.
And while it's true that there is the aspect of, okay, that is true, you are kind of shaping the minds of our future, it's also true that you're only going to get through to like maybe half your students at best. The other half, or they don't even care about school, mm-hmm. you know? And so teachers, they get it in their head that, like, you know, like, there's the kind of teachers that, like, realize that, like, okay, well, this is just a job. And then there's teachers who, like, they want to mold minds, you know? Like, that's their mm-hmm. aspiration. And I still have a lot of respect for teachers, but at the same time, like, respectfully, you know, your job ends at a certain level.
It's I really want to be like when I retire, I really want to teach. I really want to teach. Like be a
sub. What do you want to teach?
And I just anything to do with graphic design, anything to do with history.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I could get through to people at a good age and pass on what I've learned, because I'm really into the theory that we as humans, like, we don't take advantage of how much we can pass on to the next generation.
And we honestly, like, history is like a really good subject too.
I love it. I love history.
Yeah, I my 11th and 12th grade history teacher was like very like influential to me, like in high school, you know, like that's the teacher I remember the most. So.
Me too. Those are the teachers that invested in me the most and wanted to see me do good.
Yeah.
You really don't for get real. That with every other teacher. Like I had English teachers that loved me, but that's just because if I ever wrote a book, they wanted me to mention them.
I always hated English class, man. Which is ironic because it was my best subject. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I only had one cool English teacher. Mr. Charles. Shout out to Mr. Charles. You're probably not watching this, but honestly, you might be, because he's a Star Wars fan.
What a Mr. Charles.
He's a Star Wars fan and an anime fan, so I have for them heavily.
My ninth grade English teacher, she was great. She really wanted me to succeed. And at the time, I used to write like such good book reviews, such good papers that like she would give me my book review back with a copy of the book to go along with it. She loved me. She's the reason I'm probably writing a book right now. Genuinely, she bought into me. 10th grade English was sick. 11th grade was sick. And then 12th grade, I had creative writing. And didn't learn too much. I knew most of what I was doing anyways at that point, but that teacher kind of adapted to that, and teachers don't normally adapt for their students. And he gave me harder stuff and more difficult tasks than I had to, and he gave me fair grades. I ended the class with an A, Dude is sick, though. He was sick. Not a lot of teachers are so one-on-one. They're just broad. And if everyone gets it, if someone super gets it, they keep them at the same pace as everyone else. And they don't give them more and more to push that talent and to nurture that talent. So that's kind of why I want to teach. That's kind of why I want to teach. But
here's a question, right? And I want to pose this to both of you guys, right? Mm-hmm. If you could add one subject to the high school curriculum, what subject would that be?
I would say adult literacy.
Okay.
And
you want to expand a little bit on
it's things exactly that, yeah, it's things that you should have an understanding about transitioning into adulthood, like a savings account, like a social security, 401ks, how to do taxes, how to save money, the 50-30-20 rule, how to judge real estate. I feel like if there was
like different semesters, I'm guessing, like throughout the year, so that way like you can cover each subject one at a time, or
I think it would just be that class, but just have different workshops per week. Like it's a workshop class where you're going through mock situations with these things after you learn them. So it's kind of like an applied science class. You have you learn about taxes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday are your quiz and your test. And it's to gauge how well you got a good grasp on the content. And if you do good on the quiz on Thursday, here's what you did wrong. Tomorrow's the test, bang out the test. And I think just having different weeks, like, all right, this week we're talking about taxes. This week we're talking about real estate. This week we're talking about savings accounts.
I feel like having a quiz right before a test is always a good thing, you know, because then like you're refreshed for the test the next day, you know. So,
and schools are very important. That's why in my book I'm writing my main character, his parents, they weren't supposed to have a kid, you know. They tried for so long, but they just couldn't have a kid. They're not as fertile as our boy MJ, you know?
God. Not a sharpshooter.
Had sex 4 times. He got 4 kids out of it.
About permanent potency.
You can call me Gideon with my clones.
Not all of us are hitting that hard, man, but it's I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about. I was more so setting up that MJ joke right there, man. I was more so just setting up that MJ joke.
But I do like your class though. It's very interesting. What about you, MJ? What kind of class would you set up for high schoolers?
Definitely the comic geeky kind, you know. For sure.
Teach them about like pop culture.
That'd
be
if I was being serious. I mean, right now my Ugnaughts younglings are just younglings, but once they get their head more so on their shoulders, I want to lean them towards like, you know, the era of computers, you know, just like my dad tried with me. There's a lot of money through computers, dude. It's insane. Like,
so you'd have like an advanced tech course then, essentially.
Like, not to say a tablet kid, but a PC teen. You know what I mean? Start to get them in the works to like know, and then once they hit like classes in school, you know.
We had that.
Same.
Yeah, we had that. Yeah. It was gateway to tech, and then I think it was literally called Computer Literacy. And that would have been ninth grade. You took Gateway to Tech in... No, you took Gateway to Tech in seventh. Technology, one and two, and eighth. And then Computer Literacy in ninth. And then I think there were even high school classes, but I never took them. I was more on the creative side with my electives. But we had tons of electives. I went to school in a rich kid, school district, but I myself was as middle class as it got.
In high school, we like same. We had like a lot of like tech classes, so like obviously there'd be like we had like Photoshop class essentially, where you get certified in Photoshop, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like web design, stuff like that. You get certified in web designing. It was actually really interesting. And then later on, that was in Florida. And when I moved to New York, it got even crazier because, like, suddenly, like, we're having a lot of, like, the stuff that we do in class on computers. Like, we would have, like, school computers where we would just pull out in class. And then we'd be like, oh, yeah, go to this website. You know, like, all of the material that I taught you is like in like assignments that we have on the computer and stuff like that, you know? So we were pulling our computers for every class, basically just like, you know, doing the assignments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely, my school specifically definitely did like prepare you for like a world of technology where like it makes it a lot easier to do than having to write everything down.
Way easier.
Yeah. And also like, just like integrating it into like your everyday use. Mm-hmm. My school specifically was like a College Board school as well. So their main goal was to get students into college. That part I feel like I could have been done without, because like I feel like that wasted my time, you know? Because like when I was in high school, I was like, okay, well, yeah, I got to get into college. So I got to do this, 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 and this, right? And then I got into, like, you guys know that I went to college for a year, and mm-hmm. I just didn't like it. I left to join the workforce, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a year wasted, you know? So, well, maybe not wasted, because I still learned stuff, but, and, like, it's a year that I could have put towards other things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like,
I think a lot of people have those feelings too.
Yeah, if you could pick like what school you went to, it's one thing, but like, obviously in the US, you're usually zoned to a school.
Yeah.
And that's the school that I was zoned to. So, like, I guess there were two schools that I was zoned to, and they actually told me I could pick which one I went to.
And you're just...
So I picked that one because I didn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, okay, what's this school and what's that school? All right, cool. I picked that school, which is also interesting because like my whole high school life could have been completely different if I picked the other school. So
completely different.
Yeah.
It would, yeah. High school, it's very important where you go to school.
Yeah, for sure.
Really important. And who you associate with. Like, that's another huge thing. I could have hung out with some absolute scumbags, but I hung out with some real nice people. Kind of dodged a bullet by not hanging out with the scumbags, because they didn't end up too well. They didn't end up too well. But I enjoy thinking back and just seeing how things would be different if you change one little thing. That's always fun.
Yeah.
Where is it? MJ, did you want to talk about the Acolyte?
Brother.
We kind of talked about it, so give us your thoughts on it, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Feels proud as a little kid in a candy store right now, because they quote-unquote have broken records. Now, that record is highest disliked content and it's not even content. It's literally just a trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking about that, and I actually wanted to get some more insight on that. So if you have anything you can like add to it, you know, like it'd be interesting to know like why was it disliked so much, you know, or at least your perceptive of why it was disliked so much.
Right now, as just like just somebody who like stays in their own lane and like doesn't try to like be involved with drama, just being one that's observant, there's at least for me a lot of the term woke has been thrown around like an F ton, like a rancor ton, dude. Like, it's crazy. I'm hearing it left and right, at least for the last 2 years, and it's connected with Disney, and they feel, I think, with the Acolyte, it's just nothing but what people don't want, and that's what is shown from the trailer. And the other side of that is, you know, the hardcore fan base, you know, us nerds. There's some that are furious and thinks that the show is going to break canon to the Skywalker saga. Because, you know, Cam said the Sith haven't been seen in a millennium, you know, a grand of a year, like grand years. When it's literally just, I mean, from my point of view, the Jedi were just blind and arrogant because Qui-Gon telling the council that he literally saw a Sith, and they didn't do squat about it. You know what I mean? For me personally, I'm gonna enjoy the new content. You know, what's the main thing? Like the moment, like just before earlier, what we talked about, literally laser fucking swords, dude. And we literally had like a whole group meeting at the end of the trailer of like a Jedi Council type ordeal. And on top of that, you had what appeared to look like literally Starkiller's Force Repulse. And we don't even know who this character is. It's literally somebody brand spanking new, whether it be male, female, Wookiee, Trandoshan, doesn't matter. They're new. You know what I mean? And people were fearing that it's a Sith. I mean, that was my first thought, too. And I mean, personally, I think they should get a grip of themselves and just realize that it's storytelling. I mean, yeah, if it conflicts canon in a heavy, heavy way, like, obviously there's a dilemma. But I mean, like, if you're viewing it just casually, you know what I mean? Like, when I watched the trailer, I didn't even think twice about the canon, as in, like, the Skywalker saga, because we're set 500-600 years before the Battle of Yavin. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with them.
Here's the thing, right? People need to stop, okay, we did Anakin, we did Luke, we did all these people, man. Like, stop being silly. People keep saying, yeah, we want something new. Then stop bringing the old stuff up. Stop bringing the old stuff up. We're done with the old stuff, man. Like, everything that needed to be said has pretty much been said. Anything new that comes out about it will just be side story. As far as the main story is concerned, it's all done with. So stop bringing it up, you know? Like, just enjoy what's here, you know? If it conflicts, like, with the story, then we'll address it if that happens. But, like, in the meantime, like, what's the point of, like, getting upset about it, you know? Like... Mm-hmm.
No, totally. Totally.
My man, Luke faded away into non-existence, man. Like, just let him die. Mm-hmm. He's dead, okay? Anakin is dead. Let him die. Ben is also dead. Let him stay dead, you know? Like,
nah, there's a whole trilogy they could do with Force Ghost Annie, Force Ghost Luke, Force Ghost Ben. Bring them back. More.
Totally. They gather the 7 Dragon Balls and wish him back to life.
Nah, it's the 7 Sith Holocron. No, the Sedai. Yeah.
There's like the some 9 stupid great holocrons. Like, the Plagueis's research was where like he could like bring people back from the dead. Like, oh, they find that and bring like Anakin, Luke, and fucking Ben back to life, but they're all evil because they're Sith influenced.
Mm-hmm. Bro, how grisly would it be and disrespect. Well, no, it has nothing to do with Ahsoka, but I don't know why the thought came into my brain. It's just like, because I'm thinking of Ahsoka and the whole Night Sister magic, they can revive people. You know, we don't even know who Merrick is. You know, he was an Inquisitor wannabe who just literally went poof, right? Like, what would you do, like, during Heir to the Empire, right? You see Thrawn, like, captured Ahsoka or some shit, right? And it's just this whole serious 2-minute speech from Thrawn. And then out comes a corpse of Padme, just Natalie Portman.
Oh my god.
Honestly, I'm not bored of meeting, but I would cringe.
Yeah.
Like I said, it has no relation, but we're at that point, like, you know, Thrawn can do something grisly with the Night Sisters in the upcoming foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. Do you guys like Thrawn?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, what made me love Thrawn personally was, even though I didn't read the books, and that's on my own behalf, like, I just have to motivate myself to sit time and, you know, read the novel. Mm-hmm. But I did read an excerpt from the trilogy, and he basically took, it was a 1v5 in the sense, and it was him versus five, not capital ships, but brigades. You know what I'm talking about? Like little profundities, home ones, if you want to call them. He 1v5 them in space, and the excerpt was literally crazy. He literally took his chimera, and with this genius strategist that this guy is, he basically told the pilots to turn the ship vertically, so that way the loading dock is facing towards the brigade, and you just can't tell, like, what his TIE fighters are gonna be doing. Like, the excerpt was literally crazy. Like, I've never read something as crazy as that from Thrawn's books.
Mm-hmm.
A 1v5 in space just goes to show what kind of person Thrawn is. Especially
in space. I mean, like, his IQ is just next level, you know? So
it's beyond, it's up there, dude.
Yeah.
He's an interesting character. I enjoy him.
He's like the Batman for Star Wars, in my opinion.
It makes sense.
A really smart detective, great in hand-to-hand combat. I mean, he's no Jedi, but he'll still kick your ass.
I give it. Yeah. He's an interesting one. I'm in the Heir to the Empire right now. And that's his fucking book, you know.
Yeah. Going back to the Acolyte. So, like, well, with the shadowy figure, do you feel it's a Sith or do you feel it's a Ufu?
I think probably just a dark Jedi. It's a Sith Acolyte at the end of the day. You know,
I mean, there can only be two at that point, you know.
The rule of two was never, it was never followed. It was never followed. Tenebris had two apprentices. Plagueis had two apprentices. Like, there's an assassin is the apprentice's apprentice. That's how it always was.
Sidious had Dooku, Maul, Annie.
And here's the thing, right? Like, when it comes to the rule of two, like, I feel like that's something that, like, the Jedi, like, made, like, in their heads, and then the Sith just kind of let them think that way, you know? Because when you really think about it, like, who was the first person to, like, say, oh, the rule of two, you know?
Darth Bane.
Bane.
Yeah, Darth Bane. He's like, oh yeah, the rule of two. Right? And then the Jedi are like, oh, okay, so there's always a master and an apprentice, rule of two. Okay, cool. Meanwhile, this motherfucker Darth Bane's like, these stupid ass motherfuckers think that there's only two of us. Meanwhile, they got more ranks, dude. You know? Mm-hmm. That would not surprise me if that was genuinely like a thing. Where it's like, oh yeah, you're not the ruler too, man. You know? Didn't actually exist.
Even Bane's apprentice had an apprentice.
Yeah.
While Bane was around. So.
Vader had a secret apprentice.
Yeah.
He may not be canon yet, but he will be one day, I believe.
I hope so. I really like Starkiller.
So, you know, like, yeah, the rule of two thing is more of like a tale, you know, it's like a little white lie, maybe, that the Sith came up with to make the Jedi think that, okay, well, if we kill off the two, then that's it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that way, it's like an emergency plan in case, like, the Sith are like, okay, well, we got foiled. There's always the extra person that, like, they don't know about.
Yep.
Lurking. Because when you really think about it, Plagueis died out, right? And the Jedi thought, okay, well, that's where it ended. Plagueis didn't have, like, a disciple, right? The Sith are done with. Like, there's no more Sith. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Palpatine just lurking in the shadows.
Yeah, and that's why they're so confused. Like, shit, is Maul, is this guy the master or apprentice? We do not know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, they didn't even know. Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, the ruler too. That means that there's someone with Maul, but is he the master or apprentice? Honestly? Yeah.
The Jedi didn't know the ruler too, though, did they?
Yoda knew, because he was so fucking old.
Towards the end, right? He said that he was talking, and he's like, "Oh, there's another one because the rule of two." And he's like, "Oh, where Maul came, there's another." You know, mm-hmm. And obviously they know that was Palpatine, but yeah. And then I guess Dooku popped up, and they're like, "Oh, well, I guess Dooku's like the master then, and what's his face? Maul was the apprentice." And then Dooku was gone. They're like, all right, cool. Well, now we're actually just, like, done with the Sith. Like, the Sith are done for. Mm-hmm. Dooku's gotten done with. He was probably the master. Maul was the apprentice. Maybe vice versa, but more likely the other way around, considering Dooku's way more experienced when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Compared to Maul. And then, yeah, you just have Palpatine lurking in the shadows again, just looking for his next apprentice. And he found him in Anakin. I guess, well, he already knew he wanted Anakin, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's something like, they love about the Plagueis novel.
There's always a backup plan.
I don't know if you guys have read the Plagueis novel, but it's sick.
Mm. See, yeah. I haven't gotten that deep in Star Wars where I've read novels and stuff like that yet, but mm-hmm. At some point I probably will just pick up like some stuff and start reading it, you know? Just get more in-depth details.
Yeah, it is... really fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah. I've always been a fan of, like, reading, like fictional, like, stories and stuff. I loved reading, like, the Hunger Games books. I loved the Hardy Boys, you know, the Nancy Drew, you know, mystery. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. You know, anything, like, fictional, I like to read, so... definitely pick up the Star Wars books at some point. Give them a gander.
They're really fun. Right. Have you read any, MJ?
No.
Man. I got one today at the thrift store for $2. And it's the... I want to say it's the prequel to... or it's something that you read right after the Plagueis novel. Something like that. It's pretty dope. It's like the Plagueis novel sequel with episode 1. It's pretty cool. I really look forward to reading it. And it was only $2. It was only $2. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's add some more contextual to our life. So I am really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to watching episode 1 in the theaters. That's going to be sick. If you guys are, let me know in the comments. Alex says that he's skeptical about Acolyte, but he'll definitely give it a chance. It's kind of where I'm at with it. It's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, and that's all they're really asking, right? Is to give it a chance, you know? Like, watch it. If you like it, awesome. If you don't, I'm sorry. Yeah, try the best.
Yeah, I won't stay up for it, but I will watch it.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to do the midnight releases for it?
Probably not for myself.
It'd have to be like with someone, you know? Like, I probably wouldn't go by myself. I'd have to go with somebody.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. Because that's what I haven't seen that one of the original three. I saw two, I saw three, and then I saw Rogue One, 7, 8, 9. Didn't see Solo. And then I saw Episode 6 last May. See one next month, and then hopefully they keep doing these anniversary ones so I can see two again. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be sick.
I feel like for me as well, it won't be as fun. Because, like, when I watch with you guys, it was, you know, it was, like, different, you know?
Yeah, I get
that.
We're
all enjoying it together. Yeah.
Shoot, we can always watch it in Discord, too. I don't mind. I'll put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really look forward to that, man. Well, Fred, I know you got to bounce. So I think that's a really good place to wrap her up, too. I think that's a really good place to wrap her up. Solid pod. We'll be back next week at the same time. And maybe we'll have a couple more folks on here. You never know. But for my boy, it's Mary J, Fred, and So Tebow. This was the Archives Podcast, episode 32. And we'll catch you later. Alligator. Bye-bye.